speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Great joy. As I was preparing this sermon, I was struck by those two words at the end of our gospel reading this morning. After Jesus ascended to heaven, the disciples were told, worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising God. When you think about it, this might be rather surprising. This is Jesus' final farewell. The disciples have been through a lot. The shock of grief at Jesus' brutal execution, the shock of disorientating amazement at his resurrection. Since then, the risen Jesus has appeared to them several times over a period of 40 days. Perhaps they thought this would continue, that he would continue to appear amongst them in this way. But no. On this day, he says a final farewell to them, blesses them, and is taken up to heaven. However we understand what actually happened, it is clear that the period of Jesus' earthly ministry has come to an end. So how might we expect the disciples to feel? Sad? A bit lost? Fearful about the future? Well, instead, when Jesus leaves them, they return to Jerusalem with great joy, looking ahead to the future with expectation and confidence. The ascension of Jesus is both an end and a beginning, a time to look backwards and to look forwards, and great joy can be found in both directions. The beginning of Jesus' life is marked with joy. Indeed, the same Greek words for great joy are used in the opening chapters of Luke's Gospel as they are used in our passage today. The angel, when announcing the Gospel, the birth of Jesus, says to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people." Good news of great joy. Jesus' birth is marked with joy. And Jesus speaks of joy in his ministry, promising his disciples, "My joy will be in you, and your joy will be complete." After his resurrection, the disciples greet the risen Lord with much joy. There is joy throughout the gospel. Despite the struggles Jesus faced, the opposition, the rejection by the leaders of the people, the betrayal, the denial of his closest friends, his torture, his suffering, and his death. Nevertheless, Jesus' ministry, his death and resurrection, is God's message of great joy for us. Jesus' teaching, his life, his ministry, his death and resurrection can bring us life in abundance and the great joy of forgiveness, healing, and new intimacy with God, our Father. So it's fitting that the end of Jesus' earthly life, when he is taken up into heaven, is also marked by great joy. But the ascension of Jesus is not only an end, it's also a beginning. And Luke makes clear how pivotal the ascension is in the bigger scheme of things. He gives two slightly different accounts of the ascension, and we've heard both of them this morning. The Gospel, his Gospel concludes with the ascension, and his second book, the Book of Acts, begins with the ascension. When Jesus returns to the Father, it's like the end of one act in the drama of God's salvation and the beginning of another. As Jesus prepares to leave his disciples, Jesus both looks back to his own ministry, his death and resurrection, and how it was foretold by the prophets, and he looks forwards, and he tells his disciples that they now have a task to fulfill. They are to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. The purposes of God, as seen in the Old Testament and in the ministry of Jesus, will now continue in their work. In both the accounts of the ascension we heard this morning, in reading from Acts and from the Gospel, Jesus tells his disciples they are to be witnesses, to proclaim the Gospel to all nations. You are my witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father has promised. So stay here in the city till you have been clothed with power from on high, as it says in the Gospel. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the earth, as it says in Acts. Both the readings stress the disciples are to be witnesses to Jesus. They also stress the importance of the Holy Spirit, the power from on high. Jesus promises them the Holy Spirit who will be with them and in them to equip them for God's purposes. And as the disciples wait in expectation for the Spirit and the new ministry that lies ahead of them, they're filled with great joy. We too are called, like those first disciples, to be witnesses of Jesus' life and love, to share the message of forgiveness, the good news of great joy with others. We are not just spectators, but we are participants in the drama of God's salvation. The task of making disciples of all nations, declaring Jesus' transforming love and forgiveness, is not just the work of those first disciples, but the ongoing task of the church. And it is our task. Now, of course, we may often feel, I certainly do, that we are simply not up to this task of being witnesses. Who are we to preach or live God's forgiveness, healing, and promise of new life? How can God work through us in all our weakness and apathy, our lack of faith and love? How can we be witnesses to God's love in Christ in our very ordinary, everyday lives? But we're not called to do this task on our own. Like the first disciples, we are promised the power of the Holy Spirit. So we need to pray earnestly for a deepening awareness of and openness to the Spirit among us and within us. And the Spirit doesn't only equip us for ministry, but draws us into the great joy of God. Just as great joy marked the impact of Jesus' ministry from beginning to end, great joy is also closely associated with the Spirit. Indeed, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that everything's going to always be comfortable and easy. On the contrary, we all know. Just as Jesus faced struggle and suffering, so did many of those early disciples. And down the centuries, many Christians have suffered and died as witnesses to Christ. But nevertheless, great joy is a mark of a truly Christian life and of a faithful Christian community. And we at St. Ursula's can know that joy too. Now, of course, I don't mean that we should walk around all the time with a false grin on our faces or deny any difficulties, struggles, and suffering. But whatever situations and sufferings we face, there is a deep joy available for us as we are drawn together in the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And joy can be attractive and contagious. I was struck recently by something our younger son, Simon, said to us. He's very involved in activist groups seeking to campaign for change in our world. And he told us that there's been much reflection in recent times in these groups about how activism needs to be combined with joy to make it effective. Campaigning groups that are miserable or disunited do not communicate a compelling vision to others, whereas joyful communities are a powerful witness. Now, if that's true for secular campaigning groups, how much more is it true for Christian communities? We are called to be faithful witnesses to the ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and we have a message of transforming repentance and forgiveness to share with others. This message is desperately needed. Many people we know live with heavy burdens of hurt and bitterness, guilt and grief, loneliness and and suffering in their own lives and in the lives of their families. There are many in our society who are wounded, disregarded, and forgotten. And our world is torn apart by hatred, cruelty, and violence. Let us pray that in our lives, in our local context, and in the face of the challenges of the wider world, we may be a faithful and joyful Christian community, pointing to our Lord Jesus Christ and the new life there is in him. May we be reminded today of the joy at the heart of the gospel as we give thanks for God's faithfulness in the past and his promise to go before us as we look to the future. Let us rejoice in all that God has done for us in Christ and pray with expectation and confidence for the grace and power and joy of the Spirit among us. Amen.